And there are several techniques under region growing. Dividing an image into regions that could possibly correspond to structural objects or units of interest or regions of interest is what we are after here. And I mentioned earlier that this is an important prerequisite to analysis or classification. Image segmentation techniques may be categorized into these four categories: thresholding techniques, we saw, boundary-based techniques, which would require the detection of edges, region-based methods, which would be region growing, and then hybrid techniques that combine some of these methods. Thresholding, we have seen, it's based on the assumption that all pixels whose values lie within a certain range or above or below a certain threshold belong to the same class. Now, you could look at the histogram to determine an appropriate threshold, but because this approach is based only upon pixel values, there is no information considered regarding spatial connectivity or if the segmented pixels are neighboring or not. So spatial information in the image is neglected, and that limits the accuracy of segmentation of this approach. So thresholding algorithms do not cope well with noise also or blurring, because if there is any blurring at an edge of an object, the gray level value tapers slowly from the value of the object to the value in the background. And then there is ambiguity around edges of objects where the gray levels change, and then some of those values will tend to be misclassified if you just use gray level information or density or intensity information. In boundary-based methods, use is made of the property that pixel values change rapidly between regions at their boundaries. Now, what is rapidly is a question. The method starts by detecting intensity discontinuities lying at the boundaries between objects and their backgrounds. So you apply some gradient method. The high values of the output will provide candidate regions for boundaries, and then you have to check. You process this further to obtain closed curves. Ideally, you would like closed curves for objects. Region-based methods, you start with some premise here, some point. You could start with region growing, for example, if you have a seed pixel. We saw region growing as part of the adaptive neighborhood technique. In region growing, you group similar pixels into regions, starting with a seed for every region. So start with a seed, examine its neighbors, and keep growing until you hit a boundary. And then put a seed in the remaining region and remaining part of the image and do that again. And keep doing that until all pixels in the image have been classified into one region or another. Different homogeneity criteria will lead to regions with different characteristics here. So what is the threshold for region growing? How much of variation do you allow within a region? Region splitting and merging takes a different approach. Instead of growing from a seed pixel value, you break the given image into parts and ask the question, is each part now homogeneous? If not, break that region into further parts, smaller parts, and then keep splitting, and then for each split region, you ask the same question, is it uniform or not, or homogeneous or not, according to some homogeneity criterion. And in the end, you may have small regions and regions of different shape and size, but you ask the question again whether adjacent regions need to be merged if they are similar. Because you broke in a certain way, it is possible that adjacent regions have similar characteristics. If they satisfy the condition, then you merge the adjacent regions and iterate that until no further merging is possible. So this is known as split and merge. We will look into some further detail later. So let's look at some optimal thresholding techniques. Now suppose you know from the image acquisition setup, know a priori that the image consists only of two principal brightness levels, as I wrote earlier there, with probabilities P1 and P2. And consider the situation where There are some variations, again, like what I wrote earlier. There is some spreading of those gray level values within each category, and each class now has a Gaussian PDF, P1x and P2x. X represents the gray level. Then they are combined. The histogram or PDF of the net image that you obtained is a combination of these two Gaussians, what could be called a Gaussian mixture model, capital P1 of P1x plus capital P2 of P2x. So the strengths of the two Gaussians there will not be equal. They are multiplied with a certain prior probability of their occurrence in the image. So this is the combination of two Gaussians. Mu1, mu2 are the means of the two regions, and sigma1 and sigma2 are their individual standard deviation values. Now assume that one mean is less than the other, and suppose that the dark regions in the image correspond to the background and bright regions to the object of interest, which is the opposite of what we saw in the collagen fiber case, but it doesn't matter. So all pixels below a threshold T will now be labeled as background, and all above T will belong to the object of interest, or the other way around. Then you ask the question, if T is my threshold, what is the error of classification? How many pixels are being misclassified? And that error, PET, the probability of that error is P1 times integral from T to infinity of small P1x. So whatever your threshold is that I wrote there, on one side there is misclassification of one type of object, and on the other side there is misclassification of the other type. So from T to infinity, or T to 255, if your gray level is limited to 255, integral of the first probability, that is the error of the first class. And then P2 minus infinity to T, or 0 to the threshold T, of P2, that is the misclassification of the other category of values. So this is the total error of misclassification for a particular threshold, and now as you move the threshold, you get different values of the error. The problem is to find T that will minimize this error. So you differentiate PET with respect to T and equate that result to zero, which will give you a condition for optimal thresholding, and that will lead to this result, capital P1 P1 T equal to capital P2 P2 T. So there is the condition for the best threshold. Now if you were to consider the Gaussian mixture model with two Gaussian PDFs, then you get this expression, AT squared plus BT plus C equal to zero, a quadratic equation, where A is the difference between the variance values for the two Gaussians, B is this quantity, and C is that quantity. I'll not go through the derivation of this. And if the variance values are the same for the two Gaussian PDFs in the mixture, then a single threshold value is obtained in this manner, which is the sum, which is the average of the two mean values plus another factor that depends upon the probability of each class. Now, if the two populations have equal probability, then that second term disappears, and or if the variance sigma square is zero, then the optimal threshold is given by simply the mean of the two means, or the average of the two means. So if you know the average density of one class and the average density of the other class, the value in between the two will give you the best threshold if the variance values are equal and if their probability of occurrence in the image is the same. That is, half the pixels will be background and half the pixels will be your object. That may not be the case, so this factor may contribute to the optimal threshold. Now, this is one method to optimize with the assumption that the PDF of each class in the image is a Gaussian. If not, then you just look at the histogram, find the valley between the peaks, and take that. That is a practically useful technique. There is a technique known as Otsu's method. Otsu proposed a method to find the optimal threshold, and in a different chapter I have given a reference to that. And if you are interested in that, you could look into Otsu's paper. There is another technique that I have described elsewhere in the book called the Rutherford-Appleton technique, threshold selection technique, and histogram concavity, and so on. You could search in the index looking for threshold selection or binarization, and you see a few other methods in the book. But this is one technique, and I think it is adequate to say that you require an optimization technique to determine the best possible threshold for a given situation with certain assumptions, and then apply that threshold to separate your image into categories. If you have multiple categories within the image, if your image is made up of, if the histogram of the image is made up of a mixture of several Gaussians, then you have to find several thresholds. In some images, such as computer tomography images, there are so many different objects, such as the liver and the kidney and the spinal canal and the bones and so on, that and their individual distributions overlap so much that you may not be able to find appropriate values in between, and significant overlap between the Hounsfield unit characteristics of these organs would make such threshold-based detection difficult or almost impossible. Then you may want to go in for region-based analysis and also check for spatial continuity. As I mentioned, histogram-based analysis does look into the spatial distribution of the pixels or the spatial connectivity, but simply based on the pixel value that could be related to some physical characteristic of the image or the object. So we need to bring in extra information about the spatial distribution, and that is done by region-based methods. There is a modification to thresholding that is based on boundary characteristics, which is interesting. The number of pixels covered by the objects of interest to be segmented in most images is fairly small. The collagen fiber example I gave you is rather a case where the number of pixels in the collagen fibers is quite large compared to the background. Usually, you may have an image that's fairly large and the objects you want to detect are very small. So you may have an image that has several million pixels, and you may want to detect a few objects that may have a few hundred pixels. So in the histogram, the gray level histogram of such an image will be almost unimodal, just showing a big peak for the background, and the object may not even show in the histogram because the count of the number of pixels for the objects is very small. A million pixels for the background and 100 pixels for the object, for example. Now, you could manipulate the histogram. You could take the log of the histogram and the smaller peaks may show. But if you want to make the histogram bimodal or get it close to being bimodal, then you could apply some image processing technique to the original image and then take the histogram of the result. And one suggestion made here is that the histogram may be made closer to bimodal if only the pixels on or near the boundaries of the object regions are considered. So don't take a histogram of the entire image, but detect edges and then take a histogram of only those pixels that meet certain criteria and could possibly lie around the edges of objects, both inside and outside the objects. So then you are selecting only those pixels that are at the boundaries or peripheries of the objects, some of them inside and some of them outside the object. Then you would expect their populations to be comparable, so the histogram of such pixels will tend to be bimodal. So the selection or characterization of the edge or boundary pixels may be achieved by using gradient and Laplacian operators. At edges, the gradient will be high, or the Laplacian. So, BXY is zero if the gradient is less than some threshold. and is equal to some value if the gradient is more than a threshold. Now, if you use only one other value, you get a bimodal histogram. If you want to know which side of the gradient you are on, then you could use two more levels. You have a level L plus, that could be 1, if the gradient is greater than a certain threshold and the second derivative is greater than 0. And L minus could be 2 or minus 1 if the gradient is greater than the threshold and the second derivative is negative. So depending upon these, you will be one side of the object or another, or the other, depending upon the brightness of the object being less than or greater than the background. So here, the pixels are labeled as being background or at one edge or the other edge, inside or outside the object, according to this label. So T is some threshold, and we have a gradient and the Laplacian. And 0, L plus, L minus represent 3 gray levels. Whatever those values are, it's up to you. So in the image, pixels that are not on an edge are set to 0. Pixels on darker sides are set to L plus. Pixels on lighter sides are set to L minus of edges. So you take a histogram of this, and then you can label the pixels according to this. So this information may be used to detect objects and edges, and also to identify whether you are on the leading edge or on the trailing edge of an object with reference to some direction of movement or scanning. So in this manner, you are modifying the image and then creating new values and then labeling the pixels according to that. Okay. Any question on what we have seen now? Okay. Let's look at region-based segmentation and some general characterization of regions. So let R represent the region spanning the entire image. And then what you want to do in region-based segmentation is break the image R into n subregions that we will label as R1, R2, Rn, such that the following properties are true. The union of all of the regions is equal to R. That is, all pixels are labeled as being a member of one of these regions. The union of all of the regions detected will be equal to the entire image. Every pixel must belong to a region, if that's an appropriate condition. As I said, in some cases, you may want to detect some specific regions and you may not care about the rest of the image. In general, you may want to label every pixel. Ri is a connected region. Each region has pixels that are spatially connected. If there is another region that has the same characteristic elsewhere, then that is a different region. Thresholding will not distinguish that. Region-based techniques will distinguish between such objects as to whether they are connected or not. So each region that is labeled must contain pixels that are connected. And connectivity could be defined as 4 connectivity or 8 connectivity, depending upon your preference. The intersection of two regions, Ri intersection Rj, must be 0, the null set. That is, two regions are disjoint. There is no overlap between them. If there is a certain property that is specified, a certain predicate P, P of Ri must be true for I going 1 to n. That is, all pixels within the region must have the same intensity or some property. And that property applied to the union of two regions must be false. That is, two regions cannot have the same property. But they could be disconnected. So this PRI is some property defined on the region. There are different techniques and ways of implementation of region growing and segmentation techniques. One of them is pixel aggregation that I described earlier under adaptive neighborhood image processing, where you start with a seed and append each pixel in the region, those of its 4 or 8 connected neighbors that have similar properties, and then check their neighbors of the pixels you have added and include them if they meet the condition, and so on, and keep growing until you hit some limits, and then you stop. And then you can set another seed in another part of the image and start growing, and then do it until all pixels have been categorized into one region or another. The results of this algorithm will depend upon the procedure used to select the seeds, which is an important limitation. That is, suppose there is an object like this, and suppose you select a seed here and start region growing. You will get a certain area or an object boundary. And suppose in the same object, you start with some other pixel and start and apply the region growing technique, you may get a different result. The two results may overlap, but they will not be identical because the object may contain pixel values that are slightly different. You will not have homogeneous objects in images. I should say strictly homogeneous, that is, all pixels being exactly equal. If all pixels are exactly equal in the object with no noise or internal variation, then if you start with any of the pixels in the object, you will get the same result. But if there is some variation, grayscale variation, then depending upon which seed pixel you start within the object, the result will be different. For example, if you're segmenting the liver in a CT image, there is texture within the liver. All pixel values within the liver will not have the same density or Hounsfield unit value. There'll be a certain variation around 50 or 60 Hounsfield units, plus or minus 20, 30 Hounsfield units. So there is a range of values for the CT pixel or voxel values within the liver, which could be between 30 and 70 or 80 Hounsfield units. So depending upon which pixel or voxel you start from, your result could be different in this algorithm. And also, there is a threshold involved, and that threshold determines the nature of the result you get. There is another point. The result may also depend upon the method used to traverse the image, that is, the sequence in which you append the pixels. And it is desirable that you develop an algorithm that is not very sensitive to the way you check the pixels for inclusion. Normally, there are methods to avoid that, and you would not want to set off your region growing algorithm in a preferential direction, but check all the neighboring pixels of the current pixels included in the region and grow uniformly in all directions until you hit an edge, rather than setting off in any particular direction. The split and merge algorithm is a popular method where you divide the image arbitrarily into a set of disjoint regions and split or merge the regions using the conditions or predicate or property P. Now, there are different algorithms for splitting and merging. Assuming the image to be square, you could say subdivide the entire image R into smaller and smaller quadrants such that for any region Ri, PRi is true. So you could ask a question about homogeneity. Is the variance of this region less than some limit? If it is so, then you don't break anymore. But if it is more than the limit, you split it into quadrants. So the entire image is broken into 4 parts. Then in each quadrant, you ask the same question. Is the variance in this part more than some limit? If yes, then you split that into 4 subparts and go to each one of them and keep asking the same question. And if the test is failed, you cut into 4 until you go down to the individual pixel level or until the property that you specify is met. And then you do the merging. So if PR is false, divide the image into quadrants. If P is false for any quadrant, subdivide that quadrant into sub-quadrants and iterate the procedure until a stopping criterion is met. And the splitting technique may be represented as a quad tree, but there are different methods for that. You need to select an appropriate predicate or property. What that is depends upon the nature of the image. Now, the splitting procedure could result in adjacent regions that are similar, so a merging step is required. So you check two adjacent regions, Ri and Rk, if they have a common boundary. You ask the question, if I merge them, Pri union Rk, is that true? Would that be true, or would that homogeneity criterion be satisfied if I put the two regions together? One could be a small part, another could be a big part, depending upon how the splitting procedure progressed. If this is true, then you merge those two regions and iterate on this. Keep iterating and checking all neighboring regions each time one is modified until no further merging is possible. So there is an iterative step of splitting until you cannot split any further or you have reached a minimum region size. And then you take the result of that and merge the regions iteratively until no further merging is possible, and then you end up with regions that satisfy your criteria, and these regions will be of different shape and size.